Hi, everybody. Ryan Ballinger here. Great to have you with us today. I'm here with Mark Hansen. He is the co-founder of Bluetross, which is a great golf accessories company. And we've kind of gotten to know each other a little bit through Twitter and, well, now it's X, but we knew each other when it was Twitter. And Mark and I really first connected when I started showing off designs that I was trying to do of putting together head covers of my own. And he offered tremendous help and great ideas. And it turns out that's because he knows what he's doing really, really well. And now he's taken Bluetross, which is his accessories company, and made it his full-time baby. So I wanted to talk with him about all facets of the business, and we'll get a little bit more in depth into how these things are made and sourced a little bit later. But Mark, first, thanks for being on with me. I appreciate it. Second, can you give people an idea of why you went down this path and what started you in the journey of creating head covers and golf accessories?
Sure. First, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And thank you for the really nice review. That took us by complete surprise and blew us away. So thank you so much for that. How did I get here? It's long and I'm going to condense it as much as possible, but we'll starts October 2020, COVID, right? Everybody's locked up. My brother is a senior executive at Pepsi. And so 20 years ago, I was living in Newport, Rhode Island, and he was in Cranston. And, we got to play golf, every so often. And Pepsi used to host a tournament at Newport Country Club for Johnson Wales University. And he gave me this Pepsi flag. And so I was in the Navy at the time. I retired from the Navy in 2014 and moved it all over the country. And I never know what the hell to get him for Christmas. And so I found this flag, and at the time I had seen a couple places on Insta that where you would send them something and they'd make it into a head kind of like flag bag does, for flags. And they sent me a quote, and I was like, man, I think I can just buy a sewing machine and figure out how to do this myself. And it was a shame, and I was going for a Seamus barrel type stuff, right? And immediately broke my then girlfriend's grandmother's 65-year-old sewing machine, like bad, like terrible. Went and bought another one, some fabric, kept working on it, and then that led to showing it to some people where I play golf at Daniel Island Club, and they're like, "Oh, could you make me one?" And then it became, "Hey, can you do leather?" And I was like, "I've never tried that." So I got some, one of those mystery bundles from a company called Springfield Leather in Springfield, Missouri. And started that, and then realized, hey, this little Singer machine, the stitching looks like crap on leather, so bought an industrial machine. And then from there, took over the entire dining room. And then, probably mid 20, probably early 2021, showing some guys some leather stuff I'd made, and he goes, "Hey, you want a partner?" And that was the first time I kind of figured out, hey, I might be onto something here. I've been playing golf my entire life, and there used to be a website called Bomb Squad Golf where guys got on, and from that became Golfworks or WRX, and then My Golf's by Adam. I actually met Adam on my honeymoon with my ex-wife in Costa Rica in 2008. Like, we were on the same tour, but anyway. I was one of those guys who I never really changed clubs a lot. I usually want to find and stick with it, but I always change covers or change my bag or something like that. So, and I had started college a long time ago as an art major originally. So, and that worked out well enough that I ended up joining the Navy. But anyway, somebody asked me if I want to partner, and I was like, I have a full-time job, and this is just kind of like my COVID hobby to keep my sanity, and it's kind of becoming a little something else. And so I was like, no. And then I finally did make my brother some head covers, not out of that flag, but I made him a Pepsi, Rockstar, and Gatorade head set out of leather with that old Singer sewing machine, and sent them to him. He loved them, and so he's like, "What are you gonna do? Are you gonna take partners or whatever?" I was like, "I want to do it solo." I said, "I don't want a partner." I said, "But you've asked and you're interested." And so I was like, if you want to be a partner, fine, but otherwise it's gonna be me. So he very graciously sent a check, which then led to an embroidery machine and another industrial sewing machine, because I don't want what you're finding. I don't know what you're finding, but the hardest part of all of it is doing the bottom hem, right? Like
Oh yeah.
that for me
Oh yeah.
is, and even with the machines I have a, a machine that'll go through an inch of leather with no, it'll go through your finger and not even stop. And I, even with the walking feet and all that, that bottom hem is always the biggest problem for me. And so, oh man, I've wasted so much leather on the bottom hems. But anyway, figure out how to do that. And then we hired a guy to design the logos, and then kind of launched the website. And it didn't really do anything. Excuse me, for a while, we did some stuff for my club at Daniel Island. We did gifts for the member guests. And then last summer, they approached us based on the feedback we've gotten from other stuff we've done to make all the player gifts for the junior am. So we made every kid in the junior am a yardage book cover out of Italian leather. It's beautiful, and it'll last them a lifetime if they take care of it a little bit, right? Just a little bit of shoe polish. So went from there. And then in my day job, I was in customer success, customer service for a large healthcare company, and we did a reorg, and they moved me to the federal government because I'm retired military. And
Makes sense.
I went from having a job I loved to a job that was just hard to even log on in the morning on the computer. And so, got to the point where this was starting to take off, and I knew that we were going to be on the inside of Golf Digest in the issue that came out a couple of weeks ago, because they had reached out in November for a head cover for that. And so I was like, man, Golf Digest got 3.5 million subscribers. If 0.1% of them order a head cover, then my sales have just gone up by 12,000% in a year. And and I had a little savings. And so I was like, you know what? My wife and I, now wife, we're gonna give it 6 months and a year. But we've really been working hard on the website. We've been very blessed to have met some great people at Daniel Island Club, former senior golf executives. If you know the name Doobie, Mark Doobie or Amber Doobie, Amber was part of Nike Golf, and Mark was part of a company that sold to Roger Dunn and stuff like that. And then there's a couple other golf executives here. So, their feedback on the products, and then their subsequent help with, the website and some marketing tips and stuff like that, kind of is where it's at right now. And we have a couple of member guests booked, a lot of friends and family that have seen the Golf Digest picture or your review, because, and if they weren't subscribed, they saw your review because I just went down my text list and sent it to the first 100 people I saw. But they've all been very nice and very willing to help out and make introductions to their head pro or director of golf or their merchandiser. And and the people again at Daniel Island Club, the director of golf there, Chris Edwards, he came from Atlanta Athletic Club, and they have the junior am this year. My buddy's a member at Atlanta Athletic Club, so I'd actually already been talking to them and looking forward to, even if we don't do anything for the junior am, but looking forward to going back in June to defend our member guest title from last year and stuff like that. So I've just been really, really, really lucky. It's not any less stress working for myself than it is working for a company, the fourth largest healthcare company in the world, but it's a much better stress. It's a lot less, I don't know. Maybe if I'd done this from the time I, graduated high school and gave up trying to be a professional bowler when I was a teenager, maybe I'd still have hair left, but that's not the case. So, so we got there, and we're just we're working on the social. My generation didn't grow up with that, right? I'm the last generation to grow up, never not having the internet as a kid. And so,
Yeah.
As somebody in their very early 50s, to be trying to go on social and figure this stuff out, and I I was very lucky when I was in the Navy. I got to teach at my alma mater at South Carolina at the ROTC for 3 years and finished business school while I was there. But we never, there was no social media, right? Facebook was literally just starting when I graduated from the Darla Moore School of Business with my graduate degree. And, you know, we didn't talk about that. I mean, I went through all business school without doing a, without, I never did a spreadsheet in business school. Like now that was probably because it was the night, you know, the PMBA at night, but you know, it was just wasn't something we covered. So it's been eye-opening and I learned so much stuff every day. So sorry, it's a long story and I try to make it as short as humanly possible because there's a lot of things. But that flag still is intact, hangs up in the shop, and we put it in a shadow box so it doesn't go anywhere. So yeah.
What in this learning process of trying to create a business and set aside for a minute the sewing part.
Yeah. That was the easiest part. Learning to sew a straight line. I mean, it was brutal, but that was actually the easiest part of all this. I never would have thought that.
And that's what I was going to lead into is, all right, what didn't you know about starting a business, about building a website, about how to get clients? I mean, like stuff that you've worked in customer success, you've dealt with clients, but golf's a little different than healthcare.
Yeah. You know, a head cover is a lot different than an automated dispensing cabinet in a hospital that a nurse has to log into with biometrics and then pull the right med and then scan an ID and then helping the hospital system get the most out of that system, right? So basically learning all of it. The one thing that I was confident in is, you know, having a pretty good understanding of who the players are in the accessories market, right? Because I've bought them, right? Like, I mean, I bought Winston and Sheamus, and those were really the only two brands I ever bought because the other, I was always, if I'm going to spend $100, I want leather or I want something really cool like Sheamus. Yeah. And the others are vinyl or they're just the leather felt even cheaper than most leather that's used. And so learning about leather, I had zero leather experience, none. Found a couple of good YouTube channels, a guy called Little King Goods. He's in Toronto, I believe, a guy named Ryan. Yeah. Never met him. Never even sent him a message or comment on a video, but, you know, learned a lot from him and others. And on the business side, holy cow, all of it. Again, the website thing, you know, you see the commercials where like, oh yeah, you just type in, it's easy. It's not that easy. And then the legal aspects of a website, right? Like one of the friends that was in the golf industry is like, do you have alt text on all your pictures? And I was like, why? And she's like, oh, we had it. Somebody sued us for some stupid amount of money because when they clicked on the picture as a somewhat visually impaired person, their computer didn't have any alt description words to read to them about what was on their screen. And I was like, never would have even thought of that, right? Like, I mean,
I got a threatening letter about that during the pandemic, and I had to make alterations to my website for it didn't cost me anything, but I had to change my website.
Who knew, right? I didn't even know that.
Never even thought about it once, and that's actually on me. I should have thought about it, but I never did.
Yeah, I mean, we try to, you know, I don't know if you're going to get to Barnwell or not, but, you know, in the spirit of Barnwell, we're very welcoming, right? Like we don't, we want everybody to be able to play a part in something. Would never have thought it, right? That would have been something that I would have felt horrible. And then I'd have been, you know, poor. And then I'd also be labeled as some guy who's discriminating against a visually impaired. And that is the last thing I would ever think about doing. Right. So that was very weird. And then the pricing aspects, the leather aspects, like it's getting to the point now where with our leathers, I can tell just by feel whether in between the different kinds of Horween leather, let alone the other Italian leathers we use. So there's that. And I would say that I'm a probably about a plus three when it comes to leather. I don't know that I would say I'm a pro, but it's a lot of practice, and I mean, I'm learning something every day. I'm trying to make a leather sleeve to wrap around a pint glass right now for a friend, right? For that
Okay.
owns a bar here in town for some branding. And you cut a rectangle the first time, and I have plenty of math, right? Nuclear power plants run on math, right? And just cut a rectangle, wrap around. I was like, well, that doesn't work. And then trying to do the measurements and the angles, and I'm doing trigonometry again here, right? I had to go look up SOHCAHTOA because I couldn't remember which was
Sakatoa.
opposite. Couldn't remember what was opposite and what was adjacent. Hypotenuse is pretty easy, but it's pretty cool. And the other thing that I've really been learning that I didn't know before is that how much my kids would like it too. So I have a two. One lives in Tulsa. He's grown out of the house a long time. I have a 13-year-old at home too, and he likes to come out and help and ask questions. And he's really into cooking, but he'll come out there and help and do stuff. And he can tell, he's starting to pick up on some stuff. I have zero expectation that he'll want anything to do of it with it once he gets a car. But for nice, it's nice for now to hang out with the kid. So, and my wife. It's nice working with my wife every day. Also for now.
You said that, not me. But from a positioning standpoint, you talked about Winston. Winston collection's a little bit more toward the leather end, I think. And like you said, Seamus is a little bit more. I mean, they do some leather stuff, but they're really kind of a variety of different types of fabrics, materials, and textures. So how did you decide how you wanted to position Bluetross, knowing that you really liked high quality leather, but also knowing there's no one really doing maybe quite that high end leather, at least direct to a consumer?
So with Seamus, I the fabrics and line, I think Akbar, right? Is that his name? Akbar. With his wife having worked at Pendleton Mills and having access to the remnants and stuff like that, right? Like he had a good opportunity and he took it, right? The 100% truthful reason why I didn't go down the fabric barrel shape head cover path is because they are a pain in the ass to make. They're just awful. I mean, it's so frustrating trying to figure out the dimensions for this, for the shell of it, and then the top, and again, it's math and that's fine, but just sewing that top,
Oh, it's
that
brutal.
circle, it's awful. And I was like, man, if I ever want to have any hope of just making back a small percentage of the money I've spent so far on this hobby that became, kind of a virus almost and overrunning my house, I was like, I can't be doing this. And so we definitely went the leather out. I mean, I've made some leather barrels. Actually, a little easier than cloth. I don't know why, but I don't make them. They'll never be offered on our website. No desire whatsoever to try and intrude on Seamus and in that regard, right? Bought a lot of Winstons. I think Winston really got popular about what, 8, 10 years ago, right? As it was before COVID, but I'm sure since COVID their business really took off once the shops opened back up. Like leather. Got the same kind of leather that they use for all of their head covers. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I have a pair of Allen Edmonds shoes that are made with football leather. And Allen Edmonds has made the leather for the NFL for Wilson for footballs for the NFL for 80 some years, right? They've been the only authorized supplier. And so I went to see, hey, I think this would be cool as a head cover. So I got on Horween and saw that, the tannery, you have to buy like 500 square feet. And then found out that they have like a boutique outlet called the Tannery Row where they sell single hides and stuff like that. And so I bought some football, which is a chrome tan leather, and made a couple of head covers out of it. Very, very stiff, right? It'll loosen up. And then about 6 months after everything started, my then girlfriend, now wife, was like, look, I am tired of you making all of your friends' stuff and take, while this whatever is taking up half of our house, you need to learn how to make me a bag. And so it's like, okay. And so she goes, you need to figure out how to make me a purse. I was like, okay. And so did that. And, you know, I was looking for good leathers, because you don't want head cover leather for a purse, because it's just floppy. And so reached out to Tannery Row, and which is Horween, and got to talking to Kyle, who's the main guy that I talked to there. He was, I don't know if he's the main guy there, but he was just guy that answered the phone the day I called. And, you know, now I text him all the time, and just kind of got into that. And then I was like, you know, Winston, again, you go into every top 100, top 400 pro shop, Winston's everywhere. Right. And, you know, I've been there too. And like I said, I still like their stuff. I still look, they do incredible work, but I was like, I can't compete with that. So I need to find something different. And so after the first year, I got to talking to Tannery Row. I was like, look, we've spent a lot of money with you guys. Can we work on something? And so, you know, we have an agreement where as long as I spend a certain amount, then I get a certain price, and it's not wholesale, but it's not full retail. Right. And so when I made the first couple with that, I took them in to the guys at Daniel Island to show them, like, hey, what do you think of this? And they're like, this is incredible. One, why is it different? And two, what's your price going to be? And I said, well, you know, it's different because of the leather and getting into the difference between chrome and vegetable tan leather, and, you know, equating it to the difference between a pair of Allen Edmonds shoes and a pair of sneakers, right? You scuff a pair of sneakers, that white paint is scuffed. There's nothing.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah.
You're over. You can't polish that back, right? Whereas my shoes that I was given in boot camp in the Navy were vegetable tan leather, and they got scuffed every day in boot camp, but they looked like a mirror the next morning, or else I had to do even more pushups, right? So that's the big difference, is in the leather. And so, you know, they are 20% more expensive, sometimes 30 than Winston, depending on how much embroidery they have on their stuff. But having spent a lot of money on Winston stuff, you know, I was kind of like, and kind of like when I find a head cover, I kind of want to keep it. Right. And, and I'm a big guy for white head covers, and unfortunately white doesn't occur naturally, and you can clean those white head covers all you want, but eventually they're going to turn gray. And, you know, I went into it from my customer success side in healthcare and all that, where, you know, the job was to find value for our customers. I figured this is the way I can provide value. Yes. It's, you know, $40 more, $50 more than a Winston at a pro shop, but, you know, it'll last you decades, right? Just a little neutral shoe cream and a buff, and, you know, maybe clean it with saddle soap once a year, and that thing will, hell, you can give it to your grandkids, because that leather is going to last, and it's going to be 15 shades darker, you know, from it, what it was when you bought it. But that's part of the beauty of it too, is that it ages and it deepens in color. And like yours that you sent, that thing's going to end up eventually looking like shell cordovan in color, right? Like it's going to be dark, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be shiny. And even though it's not that shiny now, but as the oils on your skin get absorbed, and the waxes and oils that they've impregnated into it after they dye it, and then, you know, just stuff floating around in the air, it's going to look incredible. And it's like an old, to me, they're like old baseball gloves, right? Like and Horween makes the baseball glove leather I use too, right? And so I'm working on a line. Hopefully I get it on the site before spring training for America's Pastime, where it's going to be baseball glove leather head covers with pinstripes and, you know, number in the team colors, right? Because I can't afford licensing for MLB or college or anything like that, but I can use the city and I can use the colors. And as a lifelong Cubs fan, you know, growing up with that misery until whenever it was, you know, 13, 14, I like it. I have a messenger bag I made out of baseball glove. I get compliments on it all the time. Well, I used to when I traveled for work. And, you know, so that was kind of how we found our niche, right? Like, I didn't come into this to, one, even try and be a business. two, not to compete with Winston or Sheamus, because while there's a ton of room in the accessories market and there's a ton of companies, it's a very hard market to get your foot in the door. And three, doing that, you know, if I'm going to be in this space, then I'm going to make stuff with the best materials I have available to me. And yeah, they're going to be more expensive, but the people that buy them are going to appreciate the fact that they only spent $200 on a head cover over the last 4 years rather than $400 on four head covers over the last 4 years. Right. So it's
right.
It's that. And then the other thing too, is it's not just the head covers. It's really the leather tote bags and the yardage book covers and things like that. Like the smaller accessories, belts, we don't even have belts on our website yet, but those things that, you know, you're used to seeing used for years by people and that naturally get that richness and that patina and that darkening color. You know, I just, okay, how are we going to be different? Well, we're going to use a little thicker stuff. So we're not going to put plastic or cardboard in between the layers of our yardage book covers. It's just going to be the leather, and it's a stiff leather. We're going to use bigger thread. We're going to use, you know, because it's going to be glued and sewn together with the strongest things we can use without being looking like a rope, right? To keep it together, to make sure it lasts. You know, choosing the leathers we use for that. And then where the reason we get everything where we get it is because Horween's American base, right? As a retired Navy guy, everybody's like, well, you should outsource this, outsource that. I was like, look, man, my family had a small business growing up. They used to do screen printing, and they basically went under when everybody started moving stuff in-house or outsourcing it to China. And, you know, I'm all for trade and all that stuff, but wanted to also support other U.S. small businesses, right? So everything, every part of our products, everything that's in one of our products, whether it's the leather or the thread or the grommet on the wallet or the hooks and stuff on the bags, comes from a U.S. small business. The only thing we get from Amazon is paper, pencils, trash bags, needles for the sewing machine, maybe. But if it's going to go out our door, everything that is going out that door came from, some part of it came from another U.S. small business. So, you know, not to say that we won't ever outsource something, but I don't see it. Honestly, my grand dream, and I should probably dream a little bigger, but it would be incredible if I could just grow this big enough to hire, you know, 25, 50 people here in town, pay them a good wage where it's family. They have plenty of, you know, time to go spend time with their families and do things like that. And, you know, and then my kids take it over or sell it, or the employees buy it and it grows from there. Right. Like I'm never going to be a CEO who pays himself a, you know, what is it? 10,000 times more than the median salary of an employee or something like that. It might be, might be 10, but it's not going to be 1,000, right? So just, you know, quality product from quality people trying to do good things in the community, right? And giving back, you know, whether it's talking to Nick at Old Barnwell or Bucky at the First Tee here in Charleston, or First Tee's the first people I went to meet with actually after we formed an LLC and stuff like that. Is I grew up playing golf, and you know, I've been very, very fortunate as an adult to be able to play some great courses. But as a kid, you know, I played public golf and we couldn't afford to play a lot. And, you know, crap's expensive. I mean, it's really expensive to play golf. And so But kids like fashion too. So if I can do something where a kid gets to make their golf bag look a little cooler and makes them feel better about what they're doing, then why wouldn't I do that? It's just the right thing to do. So very, very, I never know how to say it. Is it philanthropic?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, philanthropically based vision mission, right? And that's why when I met Nick the first time last year and we sat down to chat, I was like, basically the same mission statement. And so,
Yeah.
it was great and very fortunate for that to be, able to be part of that. So, but yeah, I've been trying to do, we're talking about doing stuff for the caddies out at Barnwell when they, like once they get qualified as a full caddy, maybe get them a yardage cover or something like that with
Yeah.
their name on the back of it. And then if they go play college golf, they've got that until they get their team book, or they've just got something cool from when they worked at a great golf course in the middle of nowhere. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
And for everybody who doesn't know, Barnwell is Old
Oh,
Barnwell
yeah.
down in Aiken, South Carolina, where Mark and I are both members. And then Nick Schreiber is the founder of
Yeah.
Old Barnwell. So, very, as Mark mentioned, very philanthropic minded guy, very mission oriented guy with the club. And if you're listening to this, then you know two members of Barnwell. Good for you. That's a small group of people, but we'd love to play golf with you.
Yeah.
So trying to think about how you move forward, right? I mean, you've come up with great products so far. Obviously, that the heck of a I have, I love and rave about already. But when you're trying to think about how you capture someone's attention, how you get them in the door as a customer, are you trying to think not just about quality first, but is there a, like you mentioned with the baseball related leathers, are there kind of hooks with certain types of materials or certain types of designs that you can bring people in that maybe they weren't thinking about Blue Truss before, but now they see it on a Instagram feed or an ad and they go, all right, I love that material, I'm in.
Yeah, I think where we've started to go and which is catching some attention is with the vegetable tan leather. I can put it in a laser and I can engrave it directly, right? Like yours is,
Yeah, and
right?
it's awesome. Looks great.
It's great, and it's never gonna, I love embossing, heat embossment. I think it looks so awesome. But over time, like if you like, I have this wallet right
It
here.
fades. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I have that, and that's embossed, right? But over time, if I keep shoving cards in it, that ability to see that is going to push out, and then this is all going to get darker. I actually have a date on it so I can take pictures every year and show the difference in patina. But I think that's somewhere we're going. You'll see some companies do laser engraving as an accent, like on the bottom of a bag or something. I think Mackenzie did that on the bottom of a bag or something like that.
Yep.
And before, finding a vegetable tan leather thin enough to make into a head cover, I would take the stuff we used for the bags and just cut patches and do laser engrave patches on the head covers and then stripes, right? And
Yeah.
so you'd have a mix of chrome and vegetable tan leather on there. The base leather would be the chrome tan, and then all the accents would be vegetable tan. So if you got a color, other than white and took good care of it, then, that base color is never going to change. That's paint. It's not going to fade. It's not going to, all it's going to do is scuff off and be gone. But, a good way to see how things change over time and things like that. You get a little more sentimental in your old age and older age, and you want to kind of hold on to things more than just cast them aside all the time. So, I don't know. It would be awesome to hear in 10 years about some kid playing golf, and I see a head cover that I made 10 years ago, and I'm like, "Where'd you get that?" And he's like, "Oh, my dad gave that to me when I graduated high school or
Yeah.
something." To me, that would be awesome. So, yeah, it you have to do something to differentiate, and that was the one thing that I did know about, understand about business, especially from talking to my brother, because he does big mergers and acquisitions for Pepsi, and he's part of the Celsius deal and all that, and so. Was you've got to do something that's different, right?
Yeah.
There's a thousand of you out there. What makes you different? And so, and that was the first question everybody would ask me as well. And so, I had to find something different. I didn't go in initially going, okay, this is great. I'm going to start using this much higher quality and more expensive material to make better things and, you know, go crush it, right? Like, it was like, okay, I know how to do what everybody else is doing. And yeah, I think that my craftsmanship's a little better because I won't let something go out if a stitch is, like, if one crooked stitch on the bottom of a head cover, it won't leave our place, right? That we see it. And my wife's like, you gotta figure out how to do this faster so we don't, you know, keep throwing these things away. But craftsmanship can't really differentiate you either if you're using the same materials, because like I said, Winston and Seamus make great stuff. And so you gotta figure out a way. And that's kind of what happened from it. And so, yeah, we're still trying to figure it out, right? Like, always coming up with new products and new things, and working on things with that are easy for us to make quickly, that clubs can use for tea gifts for member guests, or, you know, little card wallets in their shops and stuff like that. Because while head covers are in every shop, there's 60 other items that can be made out of leather in a shop that, you know, made well, and it's made with quality materials, people will buy it. It might sit there a little longer, you know, your carrying costs might be a little higher, but people will buy it. And you get enough people buying those, you know, you get the Gladwell tipping point. Well, then that's what you want, right? I hope I don't have to wait 20 years like Hush Puppies to go in style and have a couple of hipsters come back. But, you know, that's the other thing, always learning too, influencers. I mean, I get it, but I don't, right? And so, but that's something we have to look at, right? Because even with all the traffic that's come from your article and from being on the inside, well, the inside of Golf Digest, we weren't, you could see our logo on the patch, but we didn't have a credit, and it doesn't say who made, but still, you know, that you better believe
people
that.
People who paid attention.
Pay attention, yeah. And so, you know, we've definitely done more Instagram and social media posts in the last 3-4 weeks than we did in the entire time, the entire 2.5 years before it, right?
Yeah.
My wife's on Insta every day. And every day she comes to me at 5 o'clock. All right, what's your post for today? And I'm like, okay. I mean, I've got 14 things back here I'm working on, but I'll figure that out. And it's a momentum thing, right? You got to build it, and then you got to keep it. And, you know, it's been interesting to see how my friend who's in the Indiana PGA Hall of Fame, a guy named Gary Gant, he's like, look, man, because when I was retiring from the Navy, I was trying to get into the golf business, right? Because the junior officer who worked for me before I retired, her uncle is the president of Titleist. And so I was like, oh, that should be a good in, right? But it wasn't, because I was too old and too expensive, right? And so, because Titleist is a company that has like 2% turnover, and you got to work your way up, and right? And so, but my buddy's like, he don't want to get in golf. I was like, why? And he's like, he goes, if you want to play golf, which you do, and you like to do, and you're good at doing, he goes, don't get into the golf business. He goes, people in golf don't play golf. And holy cow, is he right? COVID year, played 110 rounds, got down to about where your handicap is. The next year, played 65 rounds, and all of a sudden I'm a one or a two. And then last year I played 45 rounds with two member guests and a trip to Bandon, you know? And so I played what, once every other week, maybe.
Yeah.
And I used to, before I started this, I'd go hit balls 3-4 times a week. And because I was like, I'm going to get the value out of what I'm paying my club. And now I go out and play once every other week. I'm playing twice next week. It's a big deal for me. A big deal for me. I'm going up to Aiken on Thursday, and then I'm playing tomorrow, and then I'm playing again on Thursday up in Aiken. And tomorrow's here at home. Like, I can't remember the last time I played golf 2 times in a week that wasn't a tournament. Right? And so, you know, and understanding though that I'm probably not going to play much golf for the next 2 or 3 years, maybe 4, and hopefully it's not that long, but just trying to get it to where it has some inertia and just keeps going. And that's, I think that's the hardest thing. And, you know, I was very fortunate as well, getting a lot of great members at Daniel Island. And one of the guys was a founder of Blue Buffalo. And I said, any advice? Like, this is after I get asked for to go to Sawgrass. I'm like, I can't really, I got it. Okay. And yeah, I'll go. And then like, hey, what's your advice? He goes, it's going to take twice as long and cost you twice as much as what you thought. And he's right. We're right now about twice as long into it as I thought. And it's cost me well over twice as much as I thought it was going to cost me. And so, yeah, it's definitely eye-opening. I hope my kid takes entrepreneurship in high school or college, so he has an idea, you know, because.
Yeah. I mean, we could do a whole show probably between you and me about the stuff that I wished I knew about running a business.
Yeah.
Stuff you can't be prepared for. Definitely patience. Gosh, patience. The world doesn't work on the schedule you wish it does. And and even all these years later, I know it doesn't, and I still can't convince myself to be on that schedule, on someone else's schedule. And it's next to impossible.
Yeah. I wish I'd done more in my family business growing up. Right. Because my dad could, we used to joke, my dad could sell a ketchup popsicle to a lady wearing white gloves. I mean, he could sell anything to anybody. And, you know, he somehow took this little company in Fort Wayne, Indiana, that sales were like $150,000 for my uncle the year before. And this is a long time ago. And a year and a half, my dad's increased their sales to over $1 million. Like, I wish I'd paid attention to that and known how to do that, rather than just spending all my time in the art room cutting film for the things that he was selling to go out to the print floor, right? Like, I wish I'd asked questions. I wish I'd gotten an idea. And, you know, and if I hadn't joined the Navy as a kid who had no direction at 22 years old, maybe I would have ended up doing that. And maybe, you know, but if you'd have told me 10 years ago when I was, you know, on some windowless plane, getting ready to get shot off the front of an aircraft carrier after 5 days of getting no sleep, inspecting the people operating the reactors. If you had told me, hey, 10 years from now, you're going to have a head cover company or an accessories company, and one of your head covers is going to be on the inside of Golf Digest, I'd have been like, well, no, that's not going to happen. And two, I probably would have assumed, well, if that's true, then I guess I'm playing a lot of golf, because if I made it into Golf Digest, my company has to be selling $2 million a year, right? Or maybe 10. So got to be leading that. So I'm crushing it. Awesome. And that is not even close to what it is, right? We're a very, very small company, doing the best we can, trying to get bigger every day. And just so many things that you can't even see it coming. Like, I don't know. Thank God my wife was a controller for hospitality groups here in Charleston for the last 20 years and gets all the financial stuff and the reporting requirements on it. Because if she didn't know it or didn't do it, I know I'd probably have a back tax bill to the state for sales tax or something, right? Because I didn't know I had to do it or
right,
something.
Right.
So, yeah, every day is learning, but you know what? I'll take it and make about 25% of what I used to, but I learn something every day.
And eventually that 25% won't be 25%. Yeah, it will be 125%.
But yeah, hopefully. But I mean, I go to bed every night not thinking about how I'd wasted my day or wasted my time in the past and how I didn't like what I was doing, to, hey, I didn't get everything I wanted to get done today, but you know what? I'm my own boss. And so I guess I'll go to work tomorrow at 6. Right now, you know, fortunately work's not far away and I have the time to do that with my kid being a teenager. But, you know, it's like I said, you know, right at the start, the stress is different, but I'll take it 1,000 times over, you know, feeling like I'm working for Lumberg in Office Space just so he can make an extra penny a share on his dividends. It was very disenfranchised. That got to be very disenfranchising for me. It didn't start making a lot of sense after a while. It was great when it started because, like, oh, I'm going to Vegas and I'm going to Denver and I'm going to Seattle and I'm, doing this and that. And then I was like, what am I really doing here? Right. Like, and it was very easy to keep seeing the value in what I was doing and to get geared up for during COVID because we were genuinely helping people. My former company came out with I think it was one of the first tests for COVID, and then making the automation back to Dickinson. So they make all the needles basically in the world and help keep people safe with their technology. And that was great during COVID, but when you're working with the federal government, it's a little different.
Different game.
It's just so much slower, man. Nothing happens fast. And when you're when you're going from customers that are using your latest and greatest to the ones that are using stuff from 4 years ago, asking for the same stuff, it just gets hard to keep saying the same things over and over. And that's not BD's fault, it's just the way the government works. And so it's and it was just time to change. So yeah.
Well, I for one am glad that you changed. I'm sure
Well,
you
thank
are
you. Yeah.
too. And give a quick plug for the website so people can go find out all your accessories. Go check in with Blue Trust.
Yeah, it's blue, like the color, and tross, like albatross, all one word, .com. So BLUETROSS.com. And we're adding new stuff every day. Everything's pretty much custom for now. We do have a wholesale thing for shops and educational charity things like that. And we can be reached at info@bluetrust.com or custom@bluetrust.com. But yeah, it takes about normally from the time we start talking until you have the product in your door is about 3 weeks, depending on the
Great
volume and
turnaround
how
time.
long. Depending on how fast you approve the proof and how much stuff we have in production at the time, it's about 3 weeks. I think the longest it's been is about six, maybe, but for an order, for a custom order, right? Now, I'll tell friends I'll make them something and then I get orders and they're like, hey, you told me that, I got busy, man. Sorry. Can't complain about free. So,
That's
yeah.
right. That's for darn sure. Well,
Thank you so
Mark, thank you
much.
for coming on with me and talk. Well, we probably could have talked for another hour and a half, and I probably didn't even have gotten through everything. So we're gonna do this again. But
Oh yeah, let's do it. And then we can do it on the links.
yeah, then we'll go play Barnwell, and we'll go
Absolutely.
chat then too. I'm sure I'll pick your brain a whole
Absolutely.
bunch of stuff there too. So
Yeah.
Mark Hansen, thank you for coming on. I very much appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Ryan. Take care. You have a good one. Thanks, everybody.